Work it, make it, do it. Makes us harder, better, faster, stronger. On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
Welcome on a Sunday morning for another edition of The Flame Show right here on 1116 SEN. It's Melbourne's home of sport, and for the next 30 minutes, it's Melbourne's home of track and field. So much to talk about the world of athletics here in Australia and abroad. And each and every week, we bring someone into the studio to co-host with me. And we've brought in a big man today, being the Australian shot put champion of 2011, Commonwealth Games bronze medalist of 2010. I speak of Dale Stevenson, who's been kind enough to come into the studio. And Dale, good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Lovely to be here.
It is great to have you in the studio, and it's great to have a man of a bit of presence compared to what we've been having lately.
Yes, I've been listening to the podcasts, and I thought you'd probably been getting a little bit sick of the weedy little runners coming in, so nice to mix it up a bit.
That is fantastic. We're going to look back throughout your entire career, and also we're going to talk to Ben Offerins later on in the show. Of course, we'll talk and bring you up to speed with all the latest news and information in regards to track and field. And for you, our listeners, we'll give you an opportunity of winning a $250 two times you voucher if you can answer the flaming question. More of that coming up shortly indeed. All right, Dale, take us through your season this year. Are you happy where your strength levels are at and where your fitness at the moment?
Yeah, I've obviously got a big year coming up, as does everyone aspiring to make the Olympics. First real crack at the Olympics this year for me, so it's a big step up. Missed World Championships last year. I had a bit of an elbow operation, and that sort of halted my qualification attempt. So really having a crack this year. I've had a few meets in the lead up. Had a couple before Christmas, which was a bit different, and then had Newcastle, the Hunter Track Classic, and a few others leading into the trials.
Okay, looking forward to seeing you at the trials. And if you can continue on your form and the progress you showed, obviously winning Australian Championships one thing, but capturing a medal at the Commonwealth Games must have been a massive thrill and a really good step towards truly international competition like World Champs and Olympics.
Yeah, look, I pride myself on being able to perform at the right time. I generally don't get that nervous or have too many problems dealing with pressure or anything like that. So I look forward to the opportunities coming up and the big meet environments, as you said, that you touched on with World Champs and Olympics and even a selection trials where there's a bit of so-called pressure. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to the process.
How does a young guy like you get involved in shot put?
Really good question. I don't know myself. I just kind of fell into it. I played a bit of footy, cricket, soccer, anything. Played a bit of mixed netball when I was younger. And I always did reasonably well at shot put just at school. And I suppose the turning point was that I got in touch with a really good coach. Yep. So my first coach, John Eden, down in lovely Frankston, where I grew up. And he took me through till I was about 19, sort of competing pretty well in the junior side of the sport, and then transferred across to compete with some of the bigger names in the sport, Scott Martin and those guys, who took me under their wing, and I moved up to train with them at Ringwood, and I've been there ever since.
Tell us about John Eden. It's a man that you spoke about who you first got your start in shot put. He's got a very unique story.
Yeah, he does. Like a lot of the top-end throwers or the guys who've been around in the throwing scene for a while, he's a bit of a character. John was originally from New Zealand, moved here in the early 90s, competed for Australia at least three Paralympics, won a world championship in the Paralympics. He's an above-knee amputee.
Yep.
Discus thrower, was a very talented rugby player when he was younger. Lost his leg in a motorbike accident.
Right.
And just a fantastic kind of inspirational person to hang around with. Tough as nails, and he sort of set me off on the right track when I was younger.
Well, most of the throwers that I know are as tough as nails. And also, a bit like you, they're great characters. You are a unique breed, whether it be the shot put, whether it be the discus, those loony bins, the hammer throwers, and then you probably get the showboaters of the throw world being the javelin throwers.
Pretty boys, yeah.
The pretty boys being the massive javelin throwers. You are a unique breed, the throwers.
Yeah, we are. We're pretty close. All of us get along really well. It's probably compared to the other disciplines, the distance guys sort of, they like to think that they're close, but they're all a little bit pansy, we think, and they prance around. They're all worried about what they look like, and I don't need to say anything about the sprinters. But the throwers, we're pretty salt of the earth, and we get along really well. So it's always fantastic catching up with the throws fraternity around Australia.
Tell us about what makes a person be elite in shot put. Is it as simple as having strength, or it's about power?
It's absolutely about power, absolutely. There's some really, really strong guys. You might have seen on TV the world's strongest man kind of stuff. If those guys were to pick up a shot, I'd say they wouldn't throw it much more than probably about 12 metres.
Okay.
So while strength is a integral part of the characteristics you need, it really is about power and technique and just developing a really solid approach to the event over time so that you can ramp up and attack throws without worrying about fouling or falling over it, those kind of things.
Selection trials, do you need to win that and also do a qualifier? Have you already got the qualifier in the locker?
I don't have the qualifier just yet, but I'm reasonably confident I can tick that off when I'm fresh.
What is that?
2050 is our A standard. So
and what's your PB?
My PB is 2005, but just between you and me and everyone else that's listening or podcasting,
thousands.
I think I've got it covered.
You've got... Oh, I love a confident man. Our little man, the pig, is our producer. He's just in awe of what Dale's bringing to the table here at the moment. Tell us, you're a big, strong man who's 6 foot and 130 kilos. What tough employment do you do? Something big and strong?
Yeah, something really strong, you know, driving trucks.
Something like that?
No, absolutely not. I actually work with little kids. I work in primary school, so...
Oh, he's a gentle giant. Primary school teacher.
Yeah, I am. I work for a company called, a fantastic charity called the Blue Earth Foundation.
Yeah.
I work with a number of primary schools around Melbourne. The main ones sort of being inner city around the Collingwood area and working with a lot of Housing Commission kids straight a lot of them straight from like Horn of Africa or Vietnam, places like that. And I absolutely love it.
How fantastic. I think a lot of our listeners have just got a visual of their little preppy looking up and seeing Dale Stevenson, 130 kilos, telling their preppy what to do.
Yeah, there's a few. Actually, Tim Forsyth, Australian high jump record holder, also works for Blue Earth, so he's a good friend of mine, and we have some real fun. It's a very different atmosphere to being out in the competitive arena to taking a step back and seeing what you can do with 5 and 6 year old kids, just having some fun. There's no real better way to spend your days.
And Timmy Forsyth, you could pick him up and throw him around. Like, I've heard a little rumour that part of your training regime is actually throwing cars around.
Not quite throwing them, no, but we do have a test that we do, or a training we do during sort of the middle phases of winter, so about as far away from competition as you can get. Our coach Gus Popolo has a beaten up old Ford that he drives around. He probably won't be listening right now. He'll probably get it on the podcast, so hopefully I can escape it when he finds out. And we have a nice little hill out at Ringwood where we train, and he does enjoy backing the car up on a Sunday morning and watching us try and shove it up the hill a couple of times. So it has
that
been known
fantastic
to induce a spew or two, but no, it's good fun.
That is hard work. Well, mate, we'll be barracking hard for you when it comes, especially to the trials, the Olympic trials, which will be all across right here in 11:16 SEN. Now, stick with us because you're going to be my co-host throughout the show. We're going to talk about to one of those Nancy sprinters that you just said later on in the show in Ben Offren's 400-meter runner. You might have a little 400 meters. Does that give you a bit more respect?
A little, yeah. They try hard. I know Ben's been working hard on his haircut recently as well, so hopefully he can just back it up and put some results on the board.
Well, I'll let you say that to him. Also, the latest in news before we go to a break. Now, Asafa Powell, he's run 5.64 over 50 metres in New York, and then as soon as he finished that, he predicted that Jamaica would go 1, 2, 3 gold, silver, bronze at the 100 metres at the London Olympics, and That's probably a fair assessment considering how good Blake is and, of course, the mighty Usain Bolt.
Yeah, he's not far off the mark. I don't think it'd really surprise anyone if that was the case. It'd be a fantastic achievement. But the way they're going at the moment, they just seem to be churning out these top-quality sprinters like it's easy, you know?
You're dead right. It is amazing how many Jamaican sprinters there are. And you can add in, over in the female side, Veronica Campbell-Brown, one of the best we've ever seen. Of course, Olympic 200-metre champion. She unfortunately couldn't come out to Australia because she had to do some world indoor, getting ready for the world indoors. She won the 50 metres in New York as well in 6.08. That is seriously going for a woman.
Yeah, they move. They really do move, those African-American Caribbean sprinters. Yeah. It's phenomenal to see in the flesh, and I think there are. It really wouldn't surprise anyone if they could clean sweep. Certainly, the relay, the 1, the 2, the 400, even
in men and in women. It'd be interesting to see whether or not Usain Bolt does run in the 400 metres as well. Changing pace a little bit to the distance runners. Bernard Lagat was beaten by Silas Kiplagat in the men's mile over in New York, And over in Glasgow, world champion Mo Farah impressed by outsprinting Augustine Choga in the 1500 metres. So Mo Farah, you talk about pressure. Think about Cathy Freeman. Well, Mo Farah, to a little bit of a lesser degree, will be carrying the hopes of a nation on the track there for the UK. Now, Sally Pearson's, we know how good she is, and she's just flying at the moment. Well, most of her opponents opened their campaign indoors last week. Danielle Carruthers won the 60 hurdles in Glasgow in 8:09, while in New York, Lolo Jones, who is just a star. But when it comes to the really, really big meets, little Lolo, she can be going backwards a little bit.
Well, the reality is that they're racing for second.
Dead set right. I love your confidence there, Dale. Lolo's had some spinal surgery, and she's come back from that and not only run a world lead, but a personal best in the 50 hurdles with 6.78. So she is flying, and of course, she beats many of the runners who were in the final at Daegu. And also, it's been confirmed, this is great news for all track and field fans in Sydney and in Melbourne, that world champion, 800-metre world record holder, David Rudisha, will be competing in both. The Kenyan legend will run in the 400 metres in Sydney and then in Melbourne over his world championship, world record holding distance of 800 metres. And, well, maybe he might run in the 4x4 in London if he can post a good time at Sydney. And he'll also help the Australian athletes to an Olympic qualifying time. And one of those might be Ben Offerins, who we will catch up with after this break. You are listening to The Flame. We're going to go to a break. We'll come back.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sports.
Make it, do it, makes us older, better, faster, stronger.
On 1116 SEN, The Flame with Jason Richardson, featuring the latest from the world of track and field.
Well, welcome back to The Flame Show. We're here in the studio with Dale Stevenson, Australian shot put champion, and we'll be barracking hard for him as he gets ready for the big trials, which of course is March 2 and 3. Here in Melbourne for the Track Classic, which is doubling, of course, for the Olympic trials. Can't wait to see those. They're going to be fantastic, and one of the most hotly contested events, and Dale and I were talking about it before, will definitely be the 400 metres, because we've got a great tradition. These boys are going not only for individual spots, trying to get in that 4x4 relay team, which has captured world championship medals, Commonwealth medals, left, right and centre. And one of the guys right in amongst it is Ben Offerins, who's been kind enough to join us. Ben, good to chat to you.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
Mate, we're going very well, and I did talk about the fact that it's a hotly contested event, and many would argue it is the most hotly contested event in Australian athletics at the moment, the men's 400 metres.
I guess it's always been one of those events that's pretty hotly contested. So I guess this year, again, it's no different, and we've got some good guys running, and obviously we've got one of the Americans, Greg Dixon, coming over, so that's really going to boost the competition.
Well, you're the man at the moment who's leading the race, because we've only had one meeting on the Qantas Australian Athletics Tour, and that was in Adelaide, the Adelaide Track Classic, and you won there. For a man who's run 44.86, you probably wouldn't have been that impressed with the times, but it was pretty a windy day.
Yeah, obviously the times weren't great, and I don't think anyone would have been really that stoked with how we were running, but, yeah, it's always nice to have a win, you know, because it was... some quality opposition, you know, Sean and Kev and Matt were all in the race, so I was happy on that end, but obviously we need to start improving these times.
Benny, I can hear some sirens in the back. Is that the police that have come to try and sort out exactly what's going on with your hair?
Yeah. They're probably going to arrest me because of my haircut, so what? They don't blame me.
For those who haven't seen you at Adelaide, and just a little reminder that at 1 o'clock today, the Channel 9 coverage of the Adelaide Track Classic will be going to air, so make sure you tune in to that. And when we look at Ben Offerins, what will we be seeing with your hair?
Jeez.
Describe it to me.
Describe it to you. You know, there's not much on the sides and there's a lot going on the top, I guess. I
think sort of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air style.
Oh, undercut style.
But on a white man.
That's what I'm going for. I've been cultivating it, so I still need a little bit more growth, though. So an extra 2 weeks I think it'll be even better again. I might actually go and get it actually molded properly. Go and see a hairdresser, because that was just a home job. So,
Ben,
to go and pay someone to see, you know, take in the cover of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and say, this is how I want it.
I would suggest you need to be in 10 300 meter shape to run that haircut.
Yeah, I suppose so. But well, if you think about it, I'm 10-3 shaped down the back straight, but, you know.
Well, I tell you what, as a sprinter, you've got to be confident, and that's certainly with a haircut like that, that sounds confident. You weren't happy with the time in Adelaide. You've got a few scalps. That's all important. How's your training go as you build up towards not only Sydney, where you get to run against David Rudisha, the world record holder over 800 metres, but then also building up to Melbourne, most importantly for the trials?
Yeah, well, funny thing, obviously through the Christmas period, so training wasn't great, but since then it's been really good. So it's sort of frustrating me that we're not really putting these fast times in races. So hopefully we can turn that around in Perth, because of training and all that sort of stuff. And then I guess it's one of those things. I sort of want to be in some sort of form and have some sort of confidence going into Sydney against Rudisha, because at the moment I'm one up on him, all right? Ben one, Rudisha zero. So I'll claim that.
Benny, throw something at us here. Throw something. Here's your chance. You can back up that haircut and win some credibility back. Throw a time at us. Perth, home track, 400 metres. What are you going to pump out?
Oh, geez. No, I don't like throwing times out, because every time I say something, it never happens. So
soft.
So maybe if I tell you I'll run a bad time, it won't happen and I'll go and run fast.
Okay, throw something out there. What's the winning time?
Your personal best is 44.86. Have you got at least a mid-45s in you at the moment?
Well, I think that's what it's going to take to win anyway. Even Greg, like obviously Greg's not going to be in. He's running 44.6. He's not going to be in top form, but as the Americans always prove, they can come out and run 45 any day of the week. So I think mid 45 at least is going to have to be run to win it, and obviously beat him and anyone else in the race. So let's go with mid 45.
I like that. And traditionally, as part of the Qantas Australian Athletics Tour, the meet in Perth is always great for the sprinters, because you do have a nice wind. It depends. You know, can work with it a little bit in the 400 metres. I mean, my mind goes back to Perry Lakes back in the day when, Renee Poetschka, I think, broke an Australian record flying around the Perth circuit there. So the winds can be tricky, Ben, but I suppose being a local, you know how to run with it.
Yeah, the winds winds are all right, but they usually die down come 6:30, 7 o'clock, and our race will be after that. So I don't think we'll have to really fuss with the winds too much. It should be quite still, because the forecast next week is quite warm, and which means the winds will be down. I guess it's one of those things. Perth's always fast, because I get a bit of a rumour went around before that it's only 395 metres all the way around, so we should run fast.
Hang on. What do you mean there's a rumour that it's 5 metres short?
I was just... When the track was built and all the Eastern States people came over and everyone starts running fast and that sort of stuff, the rumours were that it was only 395 around and then the front straight was downhill.
Nah.
Well, I can say, even from an Eastern States athlete who's not involved in the running side of things, Perth is a fantastic track. It's probably one of the best places to compete in the country. It's always great temperature. It's never too moist. It's just always right. But you need to start backing it up with performances. Otherwise, it means nothing. It's all very well to have a fast track.
You've been scored here, Benny.
Favours. Not doing any favours. You want to see numbers on the board.
Have you got any answer? Is he just a bit...
We'll try and do that for you, Dale. We'll try.
You, is he a bit too big and strong for you to fight back with him?
I don't know. I definitely won't attempt to do anything, you know.
Well, I'd suggest you...
Runners. We're not the biggest blokes.
I'd suggest you throw the first one and then run. And if he doesn't catch you in the first 10, you're right.
Yeah. But the problem is, if I throw the first one, I'd probably still hurt myself doing it anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Ben, you are the leader at the moment. Congratulations on your win in Adelaide. Good luck for your home event in Perth. Good luck in Sydney. Look forward to seeing you in Melbourne, and hopefully when they give out all the tickets towards London, there's one with Ben Offrens' name on it.
Sounds good to me. It sounds good.
Good on you. Thanks for your time today here on The Flame Show. There's Ben Offrens, who is, of course, part of the 4x4 relay team that won a World Championship bronze medal back in 2009, Commonwealth silver in 2010. He's got a PB of 44.86. When he's right, he's one of the best going around. Talking about London, now also as we build up to the London Olympic Games, the Olympic flame will be lit in Greece on the 10th of May and then travel on board on a special gold aircraft. Can't wait to see that. A gold aircraft to Cornwall in time for the torch relay, which begins on the 19th of May. And also, our flaming question is, Who won the 400 metres at the Adelaide Track Classic? I think we've given it away. Jump on the Athletics Australia Facebook page or follow us on Twitter at AthsAust and answer that question. A $250 two times you voucher will be coming your way. And also, Dale, thanks for coming into the studio, mate. Just a reminder, Nine Network today, 1 o'clock, the Adelaide Track Classic. All the highlights will be fantastic. And of course, the next stop being in Perth. We won't see you in Perth, though?
Not in Perth, up to Sydney this year. Although we do love Perth, as I said before, but it is a long way to go. So I'm kind of thankful that we don't have to head over. Qantas Athletic Tour heads to Sydney afterwards, so you can see me there.
Okay, so anyone who's listening to the podcast, get out to Sydney and go and check out Dale there. And for all the Melbourne supporters, go and barrack for one of our local boys during the Melbourne Track Classic. Dale, thanks so much for your time, mate.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Dale Stevenson in the studio with us. Jason Richardson signing off from The Flame Show. Looking forward to being with you next week.
The Flame on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sports.